Very, very often I'm asked by people, how do you get started? That's the hardest part in witnessing. And I'm sure that with many people, that is the hardest part, just getting started. Most people who can counsel in a counseling room, at the close of a service, the invitation time when people come forward, people can kneel with them and show them out of the Bible how to be saved, but the majority of the people that we need to reach are on the outside. They're not in church on Sunday. Those are the people we need to reach. Anybody can do something with them after they got them to church and under the preaching, they're under conviction and they realize I'm lost, I want to be saved. But man, what are we doing about the millions on the outside? They never get inside the church. That's the ones that we desperately need to know how to approach them and how to reach them, how to win them to Christ. And so we want to, in this lesson, really look at how do you get started? How do you really approach people out on the street, your neighbor, the man you work with, that waitress in the restaurant, that man that puts the gas in your tank? How do you get started with that person? We want to share some of these things in this lesson today, and I trust that this might be a real help to you. It might be a blessing to you. And that God give you wisdom and a desire for it. I want to give you another quote or two right quick. Someone said the early church gathered to worship and scattered to witness. We need that. We need to come to the house of God and get our hearts blessed and filled and challenged and stirred. And then go out in the streets where they are. That's where the lost are. That's where the people are. Jesus told about the man, the parable of the 99. The man came and counted. There were 99 sheep in the fold. He left them and went out. Someone said we have a mania today for having a roof over our heads. And so now we have so institutionalized the whole church that we make it all. We come and get our cups filled and we go, and all through the rest of the week we just are like a bear who hibernates and we live on what we got during Sunday. That's not New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christian, they gather to worship and scatter to witness. And I believe we need both. I need we to come to the house of God and win people there. They did in the New Testament days. In 1 Corinthians, God talks about if an unbeliever, unlearned, come into your service, and he doesn't understand what you said, how can he say amen? And how can he fall on his face and worship God? So God expects people to get church saved right in church. And that ought to be. There ought to be that invitation, that preaching of the gospel, in church as well as out of church. Bro, we need you. We're taking this course, and me, and preachers, and people, and deacons, and Sunday school teachers, just to get out here in the streets and do it. Go wherever we are, just share this gospel of the Lord Jesus to every person we can. L.R. Scarborough made the statement, the most gigantic undertaking God has laid out for Christian men is to lead lost souls to Jesus Christ. That's so true. Here's something I read that was fascinating. William Jennings Bryan, the great silver-tongued orator, said, there is no more happiness in bringing souls to God. He said, there is more happiness in bringing souls to God than in 3 presidential nominations. My, that's a stunning statement for a man like that to say. Here's another one. Dr. Harry Ironside, who was a great, great Bible teacher, pastored the Moody Church for years with 4,000 people there, Sunday after Sunday, and that was way back in the 40s and 30s when, my, that was monstrous. He said in one of his books, in his book on the Ephesians, he said, it is very good if God gifts you for teaching, but I would rather be used of God to win poor sinners to Christ than even to teach and instruct Christians. There was a great Bible teacher who said that. We need to realize, man, it is great to teach the Word of God, and I believe we're going to have one whole lesson on how to help people after they're saved and what to do and follow up. My, we need that. I have a number of fellows that I've led to Christ that are out in the ministry today, preachers. That's a thrill. That's exciting. I know of hundreds and thousands that I personally have had the joy to lead to Christ that are now deacons and Sunday school teachers and preachers and missionaries. Boy, that's a thrill beyond all imagination. I have a very dear fellow that I led to Christ, a high school boy, who's a full-time evangelist today. My, that's thrilling. But if we just look for a few here and there and yonder, we're going to build up the saints. It's like a fireman who goes out and he rescues one man from burning building and he sits with him and doctors him and pampers him and gets him all well before he ever goes back into that burning building to rescue another one that's dying in there. That wouldn't be right. So we need both. It's not an either or. We need to build people up and see Christians growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Desperately we need it. But we need not to make it an end in itself. We need to make that only a means to an end to get this gospel out to every person that we can. I want to share with you now, how do you get started? I want to share with you a way that you in 17 seconds can be with a total stranger, a man in a service station. My, that's a great place to witness. Have you ever thought about it? A man to put the gas in your tank today. You know, the Bible says we're to get the gospel to every creature. Did you get the gospel to that person? That salesman came to your door. I remember one night a lady taking a Gallup poll came to my house. I was overwhelmed. She said, May I ask you some questions? I'm out taking a survey. I'm with the Gallup poll. I said, lady, you've got to be kidding. She said, no. I said, lady, get in this house. I said, I've been wanting people to know what I think about things for all my life. But I'd be glad to answer your question. Well, she was all excited. She said, a lot of men don't want to be interviewed. So she asked me a whole bunch of questions, and well, I guess it was dozens. We got all through, and I said, kind lady, I want to ask you a couple of questions now. Oh, she looked quite excited. Oh, yes, what is it? And I said, kind lady, tell me, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Oh, no, she said, I surely don't. I said, really? No. I said, wouldn't you like to know? Why, yes. And I had the joy to lead that lady to Christ right there in the home. My wife is in the kitchen. She heard it all and was praying for us. And I said, lady, could you tell my wife what you just done? She said, yes, and called my wife in. And she said, oh, lady, I just got saved. My, we just had a gushing, bawling good time. You see, we need to be aware that they're the people. There they are. And if you and I do not get the gospel to them, we're missing the boat. That's getting the gospel to every creature. Well, how do you approach these people? How do you get to that total stranger? A paper boy, whoever it is, how can we approach them? I want to share with you, I'm going to give you four words that begin with a T. And we'll spend more time on this very first one. I want to share with you what I have found in 35 years. I've been doing it for 35 years. That I found it to be the greatest single tool to open the door to witnessing that I've ever found. And it really works. And it's a simple little thing, and that's to reach into your pocket and pull out a gospel tract. A gospel tract. My, what power there is in the printed page. Somebody said the printed page is mightier than the sword, and it really is. Communism has conquered half the world through the printed page. They really have. You go all over Africa, the most beautiful brochures, the most beautiful printed material, printed up by the communist. All these nations that have been coming out of the ages of darkness and now learning to read, they want something to read. What are they going to read? Well, we better give them the gospel. And the tragedy is people today, you go to the magazine racks, you go to the bookstores, buy there hundreds and hundreds of paperbacks. People are reading. They're reading like mad. And I have found people will read a gospel tract. They may not come to your church. You may not get them inside your church, but they'll read a gospel tract. And beloved, that's what we're called to do, get the gospel to them. Oh, I have had the joy of getting the gospel to some of the most unbelievable people, some of the great names in the world. Muhammad Ali, I gave him a gospel tract. I believe with all my heart he read it. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Ken Venturi, many, many sports figures that I personally met somewhere in. Hand them a gospel tract. I saw Arnold Palmer read the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a gospel tract that I gave him. That's what we're to do. Now, I mean, I can get these people in my church, and you can't get them in your church. But as we come contact with them, and I believe this with all of my heart, if you and I be faithful in getting the gospel out to the little people and just that man in the service station, and God will give us some open doors to some big people and all the rest of it. I've had the joy of witnessing some of the biggest names. Bobby Riggs, Jimmy Connors, tennis stars. Sonny Jurgensen, Billy Kilmer, football stars, baseball stars. And I believe God opened the doors because God knows that I've given the gospel to thousands of service station people and newspaper boys. Don't misunderstand. Please don't. I'm not bragging. God knows we're just unprofitable servants, all of us. But I'm only saying this to say, dear folks, somewhere you're taking this course in personal evangelism. I want to share with you what I believe will sharpen you, will make you more keenly aware, will be used by God more than you'll ever dream in getting the gospel out. And the way to approach people, to start people, is with gospel tracts. It's a great, great tool to use. One day I went into a home. Someone gave me a house to visit, a name. I knocked at the door. A lady came to the door, and I said, "How do you do this, Ms. Johnson?" She looked at me. She said, "Oh, sir, I'm sorry. You got the wrong address." I said, "Ms. Johnson lives two doors down." Well, I knew. I've been a Christian enough to know that God doesn't make a mistake. I didn't get to the wrong house, really. And I know God does so many things so wonderfully and so uniquely and so differently with each of us. And when you really want Him to use you, it's amazing how He'll go out of His way to do some startling and amazing things. And so I just almost started tingling down inside. I thought, my, God, what are you going to do next? So I reached in my pocket, and I said, "Kind lady, I'm sorry I bothered you." And I said, "May I give you something good to read?" And I handed her a gospel tract. She reached through the opened the door and took it and looked at it. She said, "Hey, that's funny." She said, "You know, somebody else gave me one of those about a week ago." Ha-ha. My old blood started stirring down inside. I said, "Amen, Lord, you're going to do it again, aren't you?" And she looked at it, and she said, "Somebody else gave me one about a week ago." I said, "Hey, that's wonderful." I said, "Lady, tell me something. Did you read it?" "Oh, yes," she said, "I surely did." I said, "Hey, great." Man, my old blood was really churning then, and I said, "Tell me something, lady. You said you read it. Have you thought much about what was in that tract?" And seriously, as though you were to squeeze a sponge, the tears swelled up in that red-headed lady named Mrs. Parker. She looked at me with the tears in her eyes, and she said, "Sir, that's all I've been able to think about all week long." My, I just about had a conniption. I said, "Kind lady, could I talk with you about it?" She said, "Yes." I've never found anyone in my life more prepared than that woman was. I finished telling her the gospel, how Jesus suffered and died, and how He shed His precious blood for her sins. And God accepted the penalty, the death, the suffering of the Lord Jesus in our place. And God wanted to know if she would accept Christ as her Savior too. And I said, "Wouldn't you like to receive Christ?" She was a sniffling and a honking and a blowing, and she said yes, and we bowed our heads. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. To this day, that woman was teaching a Sunday school class. That was almost 20 years ago. She's teaching a Sunday school class today. But you know what's exciting, what's thrilling? We don't have any idea who gave her that first tract. Say, won't he be thrilled when he gets to heaven and finds out he had just as much to do with that woman going to heaven as I did? Won't he be thrilled to know how God used that tract? And you see, the point is not who won her to Christ. The point is God saved a lady. Oh, get over the hurdle of who gets credit for it. Oh, my, what a victory you'll have when you're not worried about who gets the credit. Really, that's a great thrill. The exciting thing is that here was a dear lady that got saved. And God worked in a woman's heart. And God used several people together. God went out of His way to get this woman saved. And how did it happen? Through a little gospel tract. She had read it, and the Holy Spirit had used that seed that was planted. You, if you remember, in the last lesson we talked about planting. You've got to plant the seed. Somebody else already planted the seed. And God used that. What would happen if every one of us really got down to business about this thing? I mean, we really went at being good farmers for God. We were real good sowers. And we scattered the seed. Just let your sanctified imagination run with you a little bit. Let's take a service station. Suppose here's a man. He comes into the service station. He's a Christian. And he goes up, and a man waits on him, fills his tank. And then he asks him if he would check his water and the air in his tires. And the man gets all through, and he thanks him. And he said, "Sir, thank you. I really appreciate it. You've been mighty kind. Good service. Hey, I want to do something good for you. Let me give you something good to read. Little tract tells you how to go to heaven. Would you read it?" And he leaves it with him. The man's busy. He doesn't have time to take up much time right then, but he leaves the gospel. An hour later, another Christian comes in and gets gas and finishes waiting on him and thanks him for his service. And said, "Kind sir, asking maybe directions. How do you get so-and-so?" And the man tells him. And then he turned and said, "Hey, I want to give you something good. Now this tells you how to go to heaven." Got the directions. How to get to heaven. Read it when you have a little time. And he leaves. A little later, another man comes in, a Christian. He gets gas and gets finished and gets all through and thanks the man, always courteously, always kindly. Christians ought to always be kind. And then he hands him a tract and said, "Kind sir, this just tells you how to go to heaven. Tell me, have you thought much about it? Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven?" You know, about that time, that man would look up and say, "Say, what in the world's going on around here? Man, that's the third person that's talked to me like this today." You see, the Holy Spirit of God would have some seed that had been planted and God could have been working. And we'd see a lot more people say, we'd find a lot more people like Ms. Parker, ready and prepared, because we'd already done, planted the seed and been witnessing, and that's all it takes. I have a little tract. I've written a number of tracts, and I don't use tracts because I wrote them. In fact, I used thousands and thousands of them before I ever wrote one, but I saw how God was using them, so I began to write some. I wrote a little tract. It's entitled, "What to Do to Go to Hell." You open it up and it's blank on the inside. Nothing. Then on the back I say, "Surprise," and tell them then how to be saved. A man got hold of one of these. A man who was using it went into a restaurant in New Orleans, Louisiana. He finished eating and left a tip and put this tract down. The waitress came, picked up the tip and the tract, looked at it, and was so convicted she opened it up and saw nothing. Was convicted. She ran out into the street and caught the man and said, "Hey, mister, I don't want to go to hell." They went back in and led the woman to Christ. God uses tracts. Do you? I spoke on using tracts one time at Moody Bible Institute. A girl got real burdened. She'd been burdened for her grandmother, grandfather, mother's mother, and dad. She wrote a letter to them, and then she prayed about it and said she heard some no-mip talk about how you ought to put tracts in every letter. So she prayed about it, and she got a hold of that little tract, "What Do You to Go to Hell?" She put it in the letter, sent it to her grandmother. She came into my office the next day and said, "Dr. Wimp, I sent this tract, and I got to thinking afterwards, what do you go to hell? Do you? I thought they might take it wrong. What do you think about it? Do you think maybe I did the right thing?" I said, "Well, did you pray about it?" "Yes," she said. I said, "Well, let's commit it to the Lord." And we prayed together then. A little over a week later, she came into my office just beaming all over the place. And I said, "Tell me what happened." Then she showed me. She had the tract in her hand. And she said, "Let me tell you what happened." She said, "I got a long-distance call from my mother last night." And she said, "I'd gotten a letter from her mother and father, my grandmother, that day. But," she said, "she'd enclosed the tract in the letter." And she said, "Oh, I read the letter quickly. Thought, oh, my, she didn't like it. She's rejecting it, sending it back. I read the letter, and she didn't even mention it, and I wondered why." And then she said that my mother called last night and said, "Honey, did you get the letter from grandmother?" I said, "Yes." She said, "But what's the matter?" Said, "She sent the tract back." And the mother said, "Well, didn't you look on the back of it?" She said, "No." Well, she signed it on the back. There was a little place to sign where it says, "I now accept Christ as my Savior." She said, "Well, Mom and my mother and dad got saved. That God used that to convict them. They thought that we haven't made up our minds yet. They thought they were on the board. They hadn't made up their minds yet. And they read the tract, 'What to Do to Go to Hell?' Nothing. And God convicted them, and both of them accepted Christ. And she's sending the tract back to show that she had accepted Christ. My God uses tracts, do you? And it's one of the best little tools to open a conversation, to get started with people. I don't do this a lot now, but years ago, I've told this story so many times. Years ago in Jacksonville, Florida, my hometown, I was riding down the street and I saw a sailor boy hitchhiking. And I did what I've done hundreds, thousand times now, I guess. I reached in my pocket. I was only going a couple more blocks down the street. I pulled out a tract and a wave like magic. You got to get their attention or it won't work at all. And you can't do it today. There's a litter law now. And I waved at him, and I've learned if you hold a tract up over the top of the door, the driver's seat, just as far as you can, and let it go just before you get to a person standing on the street, God will let the wind of that car just catch that tract, and it'll whirl, 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 and it'll land right at his feet. My, you can land them. My, it's a great game to play. Our kids used to have a fuss who's going to throw out the next tract. And as we're traveling down the highway somewhere, going to different towns and traveling. And so I threw the tract out. I've learned if a man's on the left side of the street, across the street, you hold the tract down just as far as you can outside the driver's side. Hold it down, and the wind will catch it, and it'll blow and land on the left side of the street. Well, we used to have a great time doing that. So I let the track go, and I looked in the mirror, and sure enough, it landed right there by him. And I just prayed, oh, God, help him to read it. I always do. I'd pray, Lord, save him. And went on. 4 months later, I was in a navigator's meeting in Jacksonville. Several hundred people there. I was with a friend. They had a song service, and the man that was leading the singing was all excited and telling how wonderful to be a Christian. He said, let's have testimonies. If you're glad you're saved tonight, why don't you stand up and tell us about it? Sailor boy jumped up to his feet, all excited, telling how glad he was saved. And when he got up there, I looked at the person I was with. I said, hey, I know that fella. I know him. I've seen him somewhere. Where? I know that guy. But I couldn't think who he was and where I'd seen him. You ever been there? And so I thought, man, I know that guy. And then he said, hey, I want to tell you how I got saved. He said, I was hitchhiking one day. He said, a fella came by and honked and waved at me, and I thought, boy, I got a ride. But he said, you know, he didn't even slow down. He said, I reached down for my duffel bag thinking I had a ride, and he said he just barreled right on by. He said, not only that, but he threw some trash out at me. My, he said, I got mad. Now, this boy was telling this to several hundred people, sailor boy. He said, I got mad. I just cussed him and said, you sorry thing, if you can't pick me up, don't throw your trash out at me. And he said, man, that little piece of paper landing right at my feet. He said, it lay there, and the wind kind of flitted it around a little bit, and finally my curiosity got the best of me. He said, I reached down and picked it up. And then he says, I read it. And he said, God convicted me. It was a gospel tract. He said, God convicted me. And right there on that street, he said, I bowed my head and accepted Jesus as my Savior. He said, that's how I got saved. And then I remembered that was the boy I'd seen out on that street that day. Well, I made one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. I should have jumped up. I came within a minute of jumping up and asking him where he was and details. I didn't. But after the service, I went up to him. I said, hey, I got to talk to you. Where were you hitchhiking? He said, out on the Phillips Highway. When did it happen? About 4 months ago. I said, what time of the day? He said, about 5 in the afternoon. I said, do you remember the car? He said, yes, it was a green Chevrolet. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and tears swelled to our eyes, both of us at the same time. And he said, are you the fella? And I said, yes. I threw that tract out. My, we shouted all over Glory Land. Isn't that amazing that God would take a little old thing like a tract? And there a sailor boy got saved, reading that tract. Well, we ought to use tracts. I have found it to be one of the greatest tools for opening the door to witness that I've ever seen. Don't ever use it as an excuse not to witness, but use it as an opening to witness. Now I want to tell you how to use tracts, how to approach people about them. Several things about them. One of the great things about tracts, anybody can use them. I was teaching a class one time and gave this, and a man was in that class in summer school he was a retired vice president of a big, big corporation. If I were to name it, you would know it. And he came to me after and said, hey, you know what? Anybody can do that. Why, he said, even I can. And he got the burden, and man, he started using tracts. Came in after one of the classes a few weeks later and said, man, let me tell you about it. And he was just sharing how God was giving them the greatest excitement. He said, why didn't somebody tell me about this before? Anybody can use them. Not only that, but you can use them anywhere. My, it's great to think of where you can use tracts. Put them in every letter you mail out. I could tell you so many stories of how God used them in letters. I know a man who's a trustee in a Bible college. He was in a university, and a lady wrote him, old gray-haired grandmother, not even related to him, but burdened for him. While he was in that fraternity house in that dormitory, every few weeks he'd get a letter from this lady, and there was a tract. Finally, one day, he thought, man, I ought to read this tract. He read it. God convicted him. He got saved. He's a trustee in a Bible college. Very successful businessman. One woman wrote to him and put the gospel in a letter. You ought to never mail a letter without a tract in it. You'll never know how God uses them. Oh, I could tell you so many stories of how God used them. You can put them in with a tip, and anytime you go into a restaurant. You can leave them in with a man. If anybody waits on you, a service station or in the restaurant or the sales clerk. And you know what's so strange? People really do read them. They really do. And just everywhere, people read them. If you'll really just give them to them graciously and kindly and courteously. I put them in getting Bibles in motels. I preach so very much on weekends. I'm off somewhere in a motel, and I stick them in the telephone directory. Now, you never know who's going to read them. I put them in the stationery envelope there in the motel. I leave them in telephone booths. I leave them in restrooms. I leave them up on the wash basin there. Just everywhere. It's amazing if you really think about it, where you can leave a tract. I just got back from having lunch and gave a tract to the waitress and asked if she knew for sure she was going to heaven. No, she didn't. I said, really? Hey, read this. It tells you how to be saved. That is even a prayer that you can, if you really mean it, you can pray in your heart and let God know you want Christ. Will you read it? Oh, yes, sir, she said, I surely will. My, if you'll just get the vision to get the gospel out to every creature. See, that restaurant where I ate, they were quite busy. I couldn't have taken that girl's time during lunch with her so busy. But I did give her the gospel. I remember a boy went into a hamburger stand at night, 12 o'clock at night. He got through eating and left the tip and he put a tract with it. Came back the next night, the same place, and asked the girl, did you read the tract last night? No, she said, I didn't get home till 1 o'clock. It was 2 o'clock before I got in bed, so I was too tired. And he said, do me a favor, please read it. Tells you how to go to heaven. Will you read this tonight? Promise me you will. She said, all right, I will. She went home and read it and was convicted of God and got on her knees beside her bed and accepted Christ as Savior. She went to God called her to full-time Christian work. She went to another Bible college, and they wrote it up in their paper, their school paper, of how this girl got saved. It was a Moody Bible Institute student. We don't know who that student was. We tried to find out. We don't know. Won't he be thrilled when he gets to heaven? That girl's on the mission field today. Won't he be thrilled when he finds out how God used that tract? You ought to just think of ways and places where you can put tracts and how God can use them. Oh, so many stories are told of tracts that have been put in bottles and are corked up and put out on the ocean. A man stapled one in a big overhead crane in a steel mill. And another fellow riding on another ship read it, was convicted of God and got saved. It's amazing how God uses tracts. Well, anybody can use them, and you can put them any place. It's amazing. But let me share something. First of all, never use a tract that you haven't read. You ought to be sure you've read it first. Secondly, be sure it has the gospel in it. Be sure it tells people how Jesus suffered and died and shed his blood. I'll get onto this again several times before it's over with. It's not a gospel tract if it doesn't have the gospel. The reason a lot of people don't win people to Christ, they don't give the gospel. They don't point out the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus, how he suffered, shed his blood, died, somewhere took their place on that cross, was buried and rose again. We need to be sure to have it. Then be sure you use tracts that are on good paper. Don't use old sleazy, cheap-looking tracts. We're living in a sophisticated age today. There are so many good tracts on good paper. But be sure it has the gospel. Be sure it has scripture in it. Don't get tracts that just tell some story. There's not a bit of scripture. But see, that's the sword of the Spirit. People wonder why people don't get saved with their preaching or witnessing or tracts. Well, it doesn't have any scripture, anything to convict people. Be sure it has a scripture, the Word of God in it. Then be sure that it somewhere brings people to a decision, that it tells them how to get saved and gives them an opportunity. Wouldn't you like to do it right now? There are many good tracts on church membership and baptism, a lot of things, but those aren't what we ought to use to get people saved. We need good gospel tracts to tell people how to get saved. Well, there's so many things that we could do about it. And I want to show you, I want to go over with you on how to use tracts and how to approach people with them. Let me run over real quick about six P's in witnessing with tracts. Number one, we ought to use them prayerfully. Pray. You ought to pray about everything you do, but we ought to just pray that God will use them. I gave a tract to Muhammad Ali in an airport one time. Man, I prayed for a solid hour. I literally agonized, praying, oh God, make him read that. We ought to pray, bathe them in prayer. Secondly, you always ought to give them out politely. Never be rude or crude. I've said that so many times. Don't be rude. Don't be crude. Give them out with a smile. Take so little. And give them out cheerfully. I've been with people in cars. We go through a toll road, toll station, and somebody there, and they say, hey, read this. No, don't be that rude. Don't be so abrupt. Be gracious and kindly. And just say, I use the phrase, kind sir, kind lady. That always gets a good, healthy response. Kind lady. Kind sir, let me give you something good to read with a little smile and excitement in your voice. Then give them out pleasantly. Just do it gracious, kindly, pleasantly. Do it with a little joy and smile on your face. Then give them out plentifully. You know, they're so cheap, cost so little. There's nothing else that you can get the gospel to people any more cheaply than with a gospel tract. Do you ever think of that? They cost about a penny a piece. Man, you stop and think what it costs you for television time or a thousand other things or your church program on Sunday, just what it costs to run your church. How many unsaved people do you reach every week. Why, you stop and think what you do with tracts. The hundreds of thousands of dollars, and rightly so in a church. To keep that church going, maybe a handful, one or two, five, ten unsaved people. Man, you can take a dollar's worth of tract. You reach 100 people in a few minutes' time through a gospel tract. Then we ought to give them out practically. And think of different ways, some other way you can hand out a tract to people and you can get a tract to someone. Then we ought to give them out presently, now. Don't wait till tomorrow. You ought to get started now. Get some from your pastor, from your church, and start doing it. Let's just get this gospel out. Then we ought to get them out particularly. Just buy up on purpose. Buy up the opportunity. Plan on it. Man, I'm going to use this to get people saved. I was in a service station one day, and a man came in. His wife was a Christian, member of our church. And I saw him, and I said, "Bill, man, I've been missing you. I've been looking for you at church. Man, we need you down there." And he gave me the same old routine. "Yeah, I'm coming sometime." I said, "Bill, do me a favor. I want to give you a tract. Read this when you have a little time." And I left him. A couple of weeks later, I was out visiting. I happened to be calling on a home just two doors away from where he lived. And the Spirit of God, isn't it amazing? God doesn't make any mistakes. It wasn't any accident. I happened to be two doors away. God just brought him to my mind. I said, "Hey, I'm going to go see him." Went and knocked at the door. His wife invited me in. He came in. We talked a few minutes. I said, "Bill, did you read the tract?" He said, "Yeah, I read that, preacher." My, I was excited. You see, the seed had been planted. The Holy Spirit had something to work on. I led him to Christ that night. We'd been trying to get him to church for months, for years. Couldn't get him, but God used that tract to plant the seed. And then here he came to know Christ as Savior. Well, let me share with you how to use the tract and how to approach people with it. First of always do it with a smile. Never be rude or crude. Do it with a smile. Do it with a joy in your heart. Man, make a game out of it. Just stop and think, man, I'm offering somebody the greatest thing in the world. I'm offering them how to go to heaven. You don't have to be defensive about it. Don't be negative about it. You know, people respond in like kind. If we approach them joyously, they're going to respond that way. Do it with a smile. Then, and I usually beg people to write this down, and I'd beg you to listen to this several times if need be and write every word of it down. Here's how you approach people. I look at a person and I smile and say, "Kind sir, let me give you something good to read." And then a pause for just a second, half a second, to see if they're going to reply or respond or say anything. Many times I'll have a person say, that one little split second I pause in there, and they say, "What is it?" Well, then they're asking you, you got to tell them. But whether they ask you or not, the next statement is this. First I say, "Kind sir, let me give you something good to read." I pause. If they say, "What is it?" I say this. If they don't say what it is, ask what is it, I still say to them, I say, "Kind sir, let me give you something good to read." Pause. This just tells you how to go to heaven. Like, man, this is the greatest thing in the world. Sir, man, there's the greatest news. Hey, this just tells you how to go to heaven. Now, you know what I find? I've heard it so many hundreds of times. I hear people say, "Really? Is that right? You're kidding. Is that right?" I gave this to a lady in a restaurant one time. She was a checkout at the counter where she checked you out and handed you the bill in a cafeteria. And I handed it to her and I said, "Kindly, let me give you something good to read. This just tells you how to go to heaven." She snatched it out of my hand. "Oh, sir," she said, "I want that. My husband died about a year ago and said, I know he's in heaven. I want to go there too." Oh, my heart ached. I wish there wasn't a whole line of people here waiting to get through. That lady was hungry. It's amazing how people will. So here's what we say. "Kind lady, let me give you something good to read." Pause. "This just tells you how to go to heaven." Many times I say, "Really, is that right? Oh?" Then I say, "Tell me something." You know, with a little excitement in your voice. It costs so little. But man, this is exciting business, isn't it? Helping people go to heaven. Man, this is exciting business. And then I say, "Tell me something. Do you know for sure?" Now that's important. "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven one day? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And you know what I hear people? Honestly, at least 9 out of 10, it's so seldom do you find people who know for sure. And 9 out of 10 almost will answer. When I say, "Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And I can just hear them saying, "Well, no, I don't. No, I sure don't." Or many times I'm, man, no, I'm afraid I'm going the other place. I hear it so many times, just as common as can be. I can just hear him saying it. No, I sure don't. Then I say, really? Like, I'm surprised. Really? I did this to a man on a plane one time. He was a president of a company. Obviously a very wealthy man. I'm sure he had on a suit cost probably $500. Very, very wealthy man. And I handed him the tract and said, kind sir, this just tells you how to go to heaven. Tell me, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, he said, no. And I said, really? I said, you're kidding. He looked at me so shocked. He said, why not? I said, you're kidding. You mean to tell me? I said, you're successful. We'd already talked, and I know he's the president of a company. I said, you mean a man with your intelligence and a man with all your business acumen, and you've done what you have, and you mean to tell me you haven't even thought about it? You haven't even got ready for what's going to happen right after you die? Well, he looked so shocked, he didn't know what to do. He was as open as could be. I had the great joy to tell him about Jesus. He didn't accept Christ, but I got the gospel to him. And without any offense, he was wide open. So I say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? The answer often come, no, I sure don't. And I say, really? Then the next statement is, tell me, wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know for sure? And again, I'm sure 80% of the time, 8 out of 10 people, will say, why, sure I would. Yes, I'd like to know. Then I say, could I talk with you about it a few minutes? Now, if you'll time it, you can do that in 17 seconds. Here's the way, let's go again. Kind lady, let me give you something good to read. She didn't answer, she didn't ask anything, so I say, this just tells you how to go to heaven. Really? Yes. Tell me, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, no, I sure don't. Really? Wouldn't you like to know? Why, I sure would. Could I talk with you just a few minutes about it? Why, yes. See, in 17 seconds, you're into, with their permission, and then just give them the gospel. My gospel tracts are a great, great tool. In fact, I found that you don't even have to, you know, plan on it. If a person really, and then when, if you've never really witnessed much, you've never talked to strangers, you say, I have a hard time talking to total strangers, say so, so do I. Really, I've got a horrible inferiority complex. I have a hard time. I'm not kidding you. But I found here's such a beautiful tool. It makes it so easy that I can use this, man. It's a great crutch for me. And I find it many times without having to say anything, just hand them a tract. And it gets a response, and I have many people say, well, what's it all about? What does it really say? And I just, you have to tell them then. It really does. So gospel tracts are a great tool to open the door to witness. Then I want to give you a second T real quick, and that's your testimony. Your testimony. Just share with a person. Let's say here's a person that you are out on visitation on Thursday night, and you introduce yourself to your... You and your wife are out visiting together, you and your husband, or you and some other man, or some other lady, and you get into this home, and how are you going to start the conversation? And you sit there and you talk and say, I understand you folks were at church last Sunday, we're so glad to have you. And just say, then say, you know, I didn't go to church myself, I started going there 2 years ago, and you know, my life was so mixed up, and I had no real peace. You know, I'd never been brought up in church, and I hadn't been inside of a church for 10 years. And I remember I went down there, somebody invited me to come. And I went. We just moved into the community, and I heard the preacher preaching. And our pastor, he's just so anxious to help everybody go to heaven. And he told how God loved me and how Jesus died for all my sins. You know, I knew I'd sinned. I knew I'd done my share of wrong. And he told how Christ suffered and died for me. And I could accept Jesus as my Savior too. And you know, 2 years ago I accepted Christ as my Savior. And my life has been so changed. Why, my wife and I, our home has been so different. She got saved the next week. And our home and our children, it's just been the most wonderful thing in all the world. And we came to know Christ. Somebody visited us just like we are with you. And then turn and say, Mr. Jones, let me ask you. May I ask you a good question? Tell me, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, you know, after you've been sharing your own testimony and the joy that you have now, you know what you'll hear people say? I've heard it so many times. I've used that method many, many times. I've heard people say, well, not like you're talking about. No, I don't have that. And then you can say, really? Wouldn't you like to? Wouldn't you like to know for sure? Could I talk with you about it? And you're into witnessing. Share your testimony. I do this all the time. It's a great way to open the conversation and to get people to let you tell them about the Lord Jesus and how they can be saved. So tracts are a good open door, a tool to use. Then your testimony is a good tool. Then a third thing I use is takeoff. Takeoff from, use some subject, something that's been mentioned as a takeoff. Something that would just lead into it. And I've done this so many times. I was on an elevator. And back when they had elevator operators, there was an elevator operator, and I asked the operator, I said, tell me how is this elevator going? And she said, up to the 17th floor. I said, really? I said, do you think you're ever going to go any higher than that? Well, I sure hope so. I said, hey, let me give you something to read. This tells you how to go to heaven. I was on an airplane one time with a stewardess, and I asked her, how are we? She said, we're 30,000 feet up in the air. I said, really? I said, tell me, do you think you'll ever get any closer to heaven than this? She looked so shocked. She knew what she said. Well, I sure hope so. I said, I do too. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? No, I don't. I led that stewardess to Christ right there on that plane. You see, we can use anything. I was in a automobile shop, a repair shop, had my car worked on one time, and a man was cussing like mad, and he kept talking about hell. And I said, hey, sir, I said, you've been talking about a really interesting place. He said, where's that? I said, you've been talking a lot about hell. I said, have you ever thought about whether you're going to go there or not? He looked at me so shocked he didn't know what to do. I had a wide open door to witness to that man. There are a thousand ways that if we all just think and become spiritually alert, God will give you an open door with some kind of a takeoff like that to open the door to witness to somebody. Pray about it and just, you become soul conscious of, I want to help people go to heaven. And God will, something will come up and man will be at the wide open door. You can read about some Holocaust. Here somebody got killed. Somebody suddenly, an airplane crashed and he got killed. And you think, my, wasn't that awful? People will say, isn't that terrible? Yeah. I was on a bus one time and a commuter train. And the fellow said, wasn't that an awful thing? I said, yeah. I said, you ever thought about, wonder where all these people are now? He looked at me kind of funny. I said, wouldn't it be awful if they're in hell now? Well, yeah. I said, hey, what if that had been you and me? Where would you be now? Well, he said, I hadn't thought about it. I had a chance to witness to him. A takeoff. Then there's a fourth way, and that's just try. Just try. Do you know, more and more, I find you don't have to be sneaky about it or use some kind of smart, sharp thing to do it. I found it so many times. I just go to people and say, hey, kind sir, let me ask you my pet question. Kind sir, let me ask you something. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven one day? Now, seriously, people don't get mad. Don't you let somebody lie to you. Don't you let somebody get them and say, people are going to cuss you. Be ready for people to slander. They just don't do it now. Oh, maybe once. I can't even remember when the last time somebody got mad at me. They really don't do it. The key is, dear folks, when you just get the gospel out, just go up and try. Hey, let's get busy. Let's try it. Here's how to open a door. Let's go and knock at every door we can and tell them about the Savior. God bless you as you put this into practice yourself.